I hadn't heard anything, so I didn't know. Well, I feel that today is not a good day to miss what God has in mind, what we're going to be talking about. I have come to the conclusion that every truth that God once brought has got to go through the man Christ Jesus. And let me tell you why I think that. It starts with a scripture that we've heard 100 times. And that's in John 1:18. It says, "No man has seen the Father at any time." What's the next sentence? "The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father," that's what it says in the King James, "he has declared him." And I thought, why did Paul want to know Christ in Philippians 3:10? Why did he want to know him? Who taught Paul? With the private tutoring. What did I say?
Jesus.
You know what? I think that God designed all truth to come out of his only begotten Son. God's behind it. God is the author of all truth. God speaks all things. But he didn't set up to have truth come through a deity, through a God the Son. Or God himself. He set it up for all truth, even the declaration of himself to come. Why does it say it came through the man, or the only begotten Son? To be begotten, it has to be through the chemistry of this earth. It has to be through a mother given birth. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, why does it say that? I got 100 other questions just like it to ask.
I got 200.
You got 200. Okay, well that's 300 altogether. But are you starting to understand anything what I'm saying here? And so what happens then if you take the man Christ Jesus and you turn his identity into something else? Now, I'm going to, there's just a few of us, it's on the tape, but I'm going to say something really scary, okay? I have the sneaking suspicion, the feeling, that what has happened is that the devil has changed the identity of the Christ, of the Son, so that we have a whole society that sits in darkness. I think we've been all sitting in darkness, including me. And we're just now getting to the place that God's opening our eyes. It says when Jesus came, it says that he came to the people were in that sat in darkness, saw a great light. And John the Baptist said, "I'm not the light, but I know where the light is." God had given a light, but what was the thing about this light that was so strange and wonderful? The Word was made flesh. And the light was this Word, and the only one that can explain that Word to us is the Son of God. The man, Christ Jesus. You know why I say that? I started running into all these scriptures. Well, there was more to it than that. I woke up the other night and I looked I was given a look at the church. I can't even describe it, but I mean, it's a strange look. And I thought, we're all in darkness. We're still in darkness. And one of the reasons that we're in darkness is because we have not allowed God to give us the only begotten Son the man Christ Jesus as our Savior.
Lord, yes.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir, ma'am.
I'm not through with this thing, but I'm going to let Pablo come up and... one other thing. My eyesight... Okay, you can come up, Pablo. But my eyesight is not because my glasses are bad. I've got cataracts in both eyes that are severe enough that I got to have them removed. So that's been my problem.
When you get woken up in the middle of the night, Keith, it feels like you go wake me up and tell me everything you heard. What's going on? This is before I say what I want to say. You know, I've been aware in other churches that somebody will pray and say, this is, must be new, I don't know if it's new or not, but say, and everybody said, and the amen, says, you know, the pastor or the preacher will say, and everybody said, and the whole crowd will say, amen. Or they will say, somebody will say, God is good, and the crowd will say, all the time, and then the pastor will say, all the time, and the crowd will say, God is good. I need to stop laughing at the Catholics. We're going to keep doing that. You know what I mean? You should laugh at them. Come on. Who is Jesus, Keith? 200 questions. I'm just shy. I'm just being shy of all the questions. Really, who is Jesus? We know a bit of who he is. We certainly do know who he is. He could be described in so many ways, but you know, the beginning of the creation of God, that's one. And I'm going to read Proverbs, and I don't know, I would put red letters on this, but it could be Solomon talking about himself, or God speaking about everybody, or Jesus talking about himself. But I'm going to read it. And it's very interesting. It says, again, I don't know who is speaking. It could very well be when Jesus was on earth. He could have very well said this. It's Proverbs 8 and towards the end. And I am going to start at 22nd. I'm going to wait for you to get there, Charlie. All right. The Lord possessed me. The Lord possessed me. So the Lord takes over. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from the everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him,
Glory.
As a master craftsman.
Yes.
And I was daily at his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his hand, in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Who is this speaking? Is it Jesus? Is it about Jesus? Is it Solomon? Is it about Solomon? Is it about us? Is it us? You know, it could be. It could be us. Could not be us. Anyways, Jesus. So, is this Jesus? I don't know. There's so much to know about Jesus, really. You know, and I think I know about Jesus, but then you hear scripture, all of a sudden you find yourself at the bottom of the well again. And, for example, Jesus, he is the door, right? He's the way. He's the mediator between us and the Father, right?
Yeah.
But He is not the destination. He's not the Father. Jesus is the way to the Father.
Yes.
And we've thought that if we stopped, if we found Jesus, that's the end of the story. But it's not. Finding Jesus is finding the door.
Yes.
The door to the Father. And that is where we want to go, to the Father. And you know, Jesus says, the Father and I are one. That doesn't mean if you found Jesus. Yes, if you find Jesus, you find the Father. Yes. But how are they one? When I got married to Candy, God made us one flesh. Candy and I are one flesh. But Candy is Candy and Pablo is Pablo. And we are still one flesh. That's how Jesus and God, the Father and the Son, are one. The same way. Just like I am Pablo and Candy is Candy and we are one, the Father and the Son are also one. But the Father is God and Jesus is not God. So, by Jesus being the door, the way, the mediator, you do not want to be stuck at the door. You want to get through the door. And I'm not being an antichrist. I'm not saying forget about Jesus. We know Jesus. If we don't have the door, if we don't have Jesus, we do not have the Father. We cannot get to the Father. But we have been taught to stop at the door. And I believe, like you said, Kita, we are still in darkness. We are. Because I don't know who taught us, but we are taught to stop at Jesus. But we need to get through Jesus, and we're going to find the Father. I don't think we found the Father yet. And I think we are at the verge of opening that, because we are at the door. We're going to open the door, and we're going to finally see the Father. We're going to see the Father. I don't even know what's going to be. Are we going to die? Is that it? Or it's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. And we are at the verge. Just like with worship. Jesus in the woman at the well, he says, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father. And this is what the Father is seeking. That you worship in truth and spirit, that you worship the Father. We have been taught by the founder of the Trinity to worship and stop at Jesus. We have been taught, Jesus says, worship the Father. Jesus told the devil at the temptation. The devil says, worship me, said to Jesus. Jesus says, no, you only worship the Lord your God. He never said, you must worship me. Jesus never said, worship me. He said, worship the Father. But again, we have been taught. We have been taught by the founder of the Trinity, which is just the devil, that he wants you to stop and wants you to worship Jesus. Why? Because the Trinity says, Jesus is God. If you believe that Jesus is God, if you follow Jesus, you stop. And if you worship Jesus, You're worshiping the Father. No, you need to worship the Father through Jesus. You need Jesus so you can worship. You have to have Jesus. We know Jesus, know God. But we have been taught. We have been taught to stop at Jesus and to worship Jesus. But I'm not saying we can't sing about Jesus. We can sing about Jesus, Moses, about Noah, about the wall of Jericho, whatever. We can. We can sing about Jesus, but Jesus is saying that true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth the Father. And that's what we need to get at. Okay? And there's songs that say that worship Jesus. Again, I'm not saying no Jesus, but I'm saying we need to, the mediator, we need to get through the mediation. We need to go through the door. We need to go past the way to the Father and worship the Father. And with Jesus, I think I've repeated myself like 100 times. Also, at the end of James is so hard to find, but it's so short. At the end of James, very last verse. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save us. I'm going to go back a second. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. How about if anybody wants to save their souls? Okay, repeat after me. Jesus, come into my heart. Okay. No. You know what, sinner? You need to go to the truth. Okay? Somebody needs to turn you away from error and give you the book of truth. So, you will save yourself from death and have eternal life. That is salvation. Salvation is to turn someone from error to the truth, which is Jesus Christ and this word and this book. That's why, sometimes when you see people believing wrong things, you know what? You have to correct them. You can't, not that I know so much or anything, but I believe that God has shown me different things here and there, and if I see someone doing wrong, I want to tell them, you're doing wrong. Okay? If I'm sleeping on the railroads and the train is coming, I will appreciate it if somebody will wake me up, you know, and get out of the railroads. Amen. I won't be offended.
Well, I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit. That was fantastic. And I had an experience the other night, and I can't even explain it. But and that's what I started to say. I shook. And I've been basically shaken for about 3 days, and off and on, because I realized something. I realized that we have been kept by the mercy and the grace of God, and not because we have truth. You follow me? That we have a whole church structure that has been deceived by the devil. We've bought the deceptions, and the whole church is sitting here only hanging on by the mercy. How is it? By the skin of their teeth, you know? By the mercy and the grace of God, and that's the only thing that has kept the church going. And so while we're sitting here patting ourselves on the back and saying how wonderful everything is and what's going on in the churches, the church system has lost the Savior. The Savior is the second Adam. The first Adam messed things up so bad that men lost their... They lost the tree of life. They lost their access to God. Are you following me?
Yes, amen.
And so God brings, what does he bring then? The second Adam. I think the first Adam, I don't want to say God designed him, because God knows, just like what Pablo had to say, that Christ was created in maybe long before Adam was. Now, we can't get that straight because our minds won't accept it. But there's a possibility that that's what took place. But anyway, the second Adam was brought forth to undo what the first Adam did. But there's more to it than that. It's like eternal life is through the man, Christ Jesus, which brings us to the Father. But it isn't through the God-man. It's not through God, the God the Son. It's not through this Christ who is his own Father. I mean, it doesn't work. So what we have done is we've let the devil, you know what, my vision is such that I can't even make people out. But anyway, what has happened is we have let the devil change the structure enough so that we lost our lamb sacrifice. Why did we lose it? Because we made the man, Christ Jesus, into a God-man. And this image has been fit into the minds of thousands and thousands, millions of people. He's not a man. He's a God. And as soon as we turn him into a God, we lose our salvation. Does anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, amen.
And so, anyway, when I saw that the other night, I'm in the middle of the night, I don't know, I started to see this thing. And I looked around at the, I mean, I have been a part of the fundamentals, I've been a part of the charismatics, I've been a part of the denominationals, I have been a part of just about everything that is. And I looked, I started looking, I thought, you know what? I have never been in the right position. I've never been in the right place. Right time or wrong time. I've never been in the right place. No matter which one I've been in, there was a problem with it. There was a problem with the Lutheran church. There was a problem with the Pentecostal church. There was, and with the fundamentals. No matter where I've been, there was a major problem. The fundamentals don't, they don't even preach the power aspect of God's word. They deny it. You know how it says that, that they had a form of godliness and denied God's power? Been there and done that. Am there in doing that.
So, Keith asked, I think, the spiritual million-dollar question this morning, which is, you know, why are we in darkness? I ask myself that all the time. You know, why don't I know what I don't know? And it's easy to say, well, I don't know what I don't know because God hasn't revealed it. And there's truth in that. It's also easy to say that I don't know what I don't know because the devil is making sure that I don't know it. Mm-hmm. There's truth in that. And it's probably truth in it that I'm just not seeking enough. Mm. You know, I'm not ready. For whatever reason, God has chosen not to reveal it yet. But I think it's fair to say we are in darkness because that's where we're supposed to be at the time. We're either being deceived and God hasn't brought us out of that deception, or we don't have the revelation and God hasn't shown us that revelation yet. And all I know is that I can be in the race looking for the revelation. You know, even the disciples, Jesus was explaining to him what was going to happen to him. And, you know, they're sitting at the foot of the Lamb, and he's telling them exactly what's going to happen. But God didn't let them hear yet. So they're at the foot of the light, hearing exactly what God wants them to hear. But it still doesn't get through to them yet. So, now this is just for me. You all, if you like it, great. But my point is, I'm not going to be beating myself up for the fact that I don't have the light because he hasn't revealed it yet. But I know what I can do. I can keep seeking the truth. Uh-huh. I can keep my heart open to God. I can keep asking him to show me, let me have ears to hear and eyes to see. that's all I can do. Because I'm really not in charge here. As I remind you about me all the time. I think Pablo just reminded us this morning of the great truth, and Jesus is the way, but Jesus is not salvation. It's the way to salvation. I want to be in heaven with the Father. The roadmap, the Word, says the way to do that is to find Jesus. It doesn't make any claims as to what Jesus is, other than He's the way. It is the deception the church is under by trying to change Jesus into a deity takes that path away, which is why the devil is after that. It had to be the perfect sacrifice to take care of all our sins, and that had to be from a man. We do spend a lot of time having that discussion, and it's a good discussion about we see scriptures, and in our current natural state, they're confusing. I take a lot of comfort in the scriptures telling me, and that's exactly the way it's going to be until I tell you otherwise. They're set up to confound the wise.
That's right.
They're also set up to confound the diligent, because He will reveal it in His time. We just have to be willing and patient for that to happen. I am not a winner. I'm not a champion of patience. I would really like to know. Like to know yesterday so I'd know how tomorrow I would be. But that's just not the way God has set it up. But do not forget, it's not running the race. It's completing the race. It's not finding Jesus is not salvation. It's using finding Jesus to get to the Father through Him. All truths brought through Jesus? That's probably right. I need to think on that a little bit more. And Jesus having the fullness of God makes it quite likely that when He spoke, He was speaking God's truth, that that the rest of the acts of characters in the Bible didn't have. And you need that revelation to kind of make that gulf between the natural and the spiritual. So I don't know if this is helpful to you, but to me, you know, I'm just saying that the darkness that I'm in, as long as I'm diligently seeking God, is where God wants me to be. And I give credit to the enemy who's trying to keep me in that darkness, because there are times when God has revealed things that if I was thinking with a correct heart, I'd have a little bit more light and a little less darkness. And those of us who've been swinging here for 40 or plus years and trying to find a light, get the difficulty or the conundrum of our walk. It just takes a truly open heart and a truly patient one. How else do you explain why it took so long for us to be able to see past the deception of the Trinity? You can't find the Trinity described in the Bible. You can't even find anything. Yet you can find literally hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that explain Jesus is a man, not a God. And we have all been here for decades looking at that word. God decided now was the time that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear the truth. Perhaps that was to protect us from the deceptions the enemy would try and bring later. And we have a history of trying to be on the forefront of spiritual knowledge, and the lack of the spiritual foundation has tripped us up. Now, we have that cornerstone. I don't think, God willing, that we'll be tripped up again. I think we'll be able to discern true light.
Let's hope.
Anyways.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
It's too fast for me, Keith.
No, if I'm too fast, that's saying something about what happened at retirement.
Yeah, right.
You slow down if I'm too fast. But anyway, and Corky hit it right on the head. And the thing about it, what we are hearing right now is the preparation thing that God wants us to hear into the next steps. There's a scripture. Well, there's seven scriptures. One to each of the books in the book of Revelation, or each of the churches, and it makes a strange statement, and it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." I got two, don't I? You see two ears?
Yeah.
Why does it say he that has an ear? And anyway, but then there's more to the sentence that says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." There's the answer. We haven't had ears to hear the Spirit. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, except you become converted. I don't know, except or unless, but the same thing. And become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is within you. I just added that. But he says the kingdom of God is within you. But you won't enter into it unless you become converted and become as little children. Let me tell you an update. We have to be converted from everything we've ever been. You know what a little child is? The babes and the sucklings that God reveals truth to, you know how old they are? They're nothings. They're little. I looked at Nikki's little baby last night. She stopped over for a minute. You know, I looked at him, and here he has a big smile on his face. And I thought, how much does he know? And I hate to say this, but he doesn't even know enough to wet his pants. That's all a natural thing. But the Bible says God reveals these things to the babes and the sucklings. Well, I tell you what God wants people to do. And this is where we are, and this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to start K1, or HSK1, HSK2, HSK3. Do you follow what I'm talking about? Holy Spirit. Kindergarten 1, Holy Spirit, Kindergarten 2. That's where God wants us to be. And the thing is, as long as we keep this facade about our great intelligence, as far as the Spirit is concerned, or God's ways are concerned, we are helpless. We're helpless. God wants us to go back and start as a little child and start learning. What are we doing? What have we been doing the last few years? Isn't that what we're doing? That's what I've been doing. And I look at it and I think, all my religious education, all of the things that I thought I knew. Let me tell you, if you want to see an 80-year-old sad guy, when I look at the things that I have learned over the years that are nothing, worthless, nothing. Ideas, theologies, things in people's heads that I learned, and I got in a big argument with somebody not an awful long time ago here over that, all of these wonderful things that we had learned at Community Chapel, and I said, you know what? I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Most of the things I learned, I have had to unlearn. I'm not proud of it, but I've had to unlearn things that I thought were so profound and so, you know, what's that scripture in Second Corinthians? Enticing words of men's wisdom. I thought I was really learning wonderful things. I've had to undo it and start over as a little 2-year-old, and a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and a 5-year-old. I'm not sure if I'm up to 5 yet. But otherwise, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except you receive the kingdom, or except you become converted and become as little children, you can't enter the kingdom, it says. Anyways. I won't turn around, sir.
There is a secular science fiction book. It's comedy, and I'm a little vague on the name right now. It's something like The Galaxy at the End of the Universe or something. It's popular. And in it, there's someone who's very wise, I guess, who reports that he has the ultimate answer to every mystery, to the great mystery of the universe. You know, he's got the answer. You know? And there's a kind of a big build-up about it. And, you know, and then it turns out the answer is 23. You know? And that's, you know, 23. What's the question that answers, you know? Well, the book doesn't tell us. You know? We just know that the ultimate answer is 23, which isn't particularly helpful, you know? And it occurred to me this morning that if we were to know kind of the equivalent, the ultimate answer of the nature of Jesus and so forth, that wouldn't, it would be a little bit like the answer 23. You know, when you work out a math problem, an algebra problem or whatever, you're in school, you're supposed to show your work. The answer just 23 won't do it at the end. In order to get credit for the test that you're taking, you've got to show your work. So you've got to show all the calculations that you got to get to whatever the answer is. And the problem in that book was that they didn't show their work. They didn't show how they worked through this ultimate question to get the ultimate answer, which is 23. You know, so you need to show your work. And I think we need to show our work too. And I think what we are in the middle of is working out the problem. So no, we don't have the answer. But we're in the same process of working out that math question, whatever, where we have to show our work. And the only way that we're really going to appreciate the answer is having gone through all the steps to get there, you know, to show our work, to show, you know, if we were just presented with the answer, of who Jesus is, I don't think it would be that big of a revelation. You know, we need to go through we have to do the very thing that we're doing right now, which is thrashing around, coming this way, that way, well, this, you know. We have to go through that whole thing, same as someone who works out a math problem. You go through this step, this thing, you know, then you do that, you know, all the things. It's been a while since I've worked out a math problem. But I do remember I used to have to show my work. And I think we are in the process of doing something like that right now on the spiritual side. We are showing our work.
If you don't watch me get up here, you're better off. Fifty years ago, not too many of you are old enough to go back that far, but I had a dream. And in the dream, there was an angel. And well, if you know how far the woods are off this way and the woods are off this way, Joanne and I stood arm in arm and were petrified because everything was on fire. There were flames leaping up 100, 200 feet into the air all the way around us. And we stayed in that setting throughout the entire dream that I had. And as we're sitting there, and I told Joanne, I said, we got to get down in, get into the lake. It's out over the hill. And we looked, the lake's on fire. And so, anyway, as we're standing there, and here's this angel comes, and he said, the Lord is coming, you know, and he's shouting it, the Lord is coming. And I said, do we have time to tell our loved ones? And he said, you just have time. This is 50 years ago. And anyway, the other day, now I said this to say this, the other day I realized what that fire was all about. And this has been 50 years. And I don't like what I'm, you know, about to say, and I don't like it for myself and I don't like it for you, but I tell you what, if you want to serve God, all hell is going to break loose. All hell's going to break loose. You really want to serve him? And we're coming into a revelation, an understanding. And you know how I got it? A few years ago, a voice spoke and said, if you want to find me, I don't know who spoke. I don't know if it was an angel. I don't know if it was Jesus. I don't know if it was some faction of God. I don't know who spoke to me. Because in the process of looking for God, looking for what I found Jesus. I thought I knew him. God the Son. This one who sometimes spoke as man, sometimes spoke as son, had this dual personality. I mean, that's what I thought of, that's who I thought he was. And through a slow process of the intake of God's Word and a hunger and a thirst inside of me unlike anything I've ever known, I started coming to the revelation of who Jesus is. Do I know him? No. If Paul was still saying, I want to know him, then I better be careful what I say. You know what I'm saying? I want to know him. I want to know understand the power of his resurrection. Everybody wants that. The fellowship of his suffering, not so popular. Be made conformable to his death, that's less popular yet. But anyway, somehow Paul was giving us an insight. We need to know this man, because this man will reveal the thing that we want, which is God himself. the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, and he is the only begotten. And where is the bosom part? God covers heaven and earth. Where's the bosom? The focal point of what God wants us to have. Would you say that? He's the focal point. God wants us to know this man, and we will find him whom to know is life eternal. And so, what's happening to us? We're starting to understand. What is it going to cost? Well, you know what? I don't care. But that, I might be speaking just for me. What's it going to cost? And that's why I've told people at different times, I said, it might be better if he got out and ran. But let me give you a little insight. You're looking at us and you're thinking, well, there's only a handful of people, you know. Count them on two hands or less, you know what I mean? That's all that you got. Let me tell you a little something that I know. There's a lot of us around. There's a lot of us around. They're not as far as you think. Somebody got to break free. It'd be nice if it was us. Wouldn't it be nice? I can't see your expressions, but I know you're here. And I'm looking forward to an operation or healing. I can hear your voices. But anyway, there's persecution coming. But let me quote a scripture. Indeed, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you like that? Does it matter if we like it? That's what the Bible says.
That's what the deal is.
That's what the Bible says. And you know what? It says through these persecutions, he will make a way. Is that what it says? He'll make a way for us. And so the thing is, I'm not even concerned about it. I talk about it. I don't want to scare anybody about it. But I realized for the first time, I thought, why the fire? And why the fact that it took all these years before I had a clue what I was supposed to tell my loved ones? And I got some loved ones that are getting really shook up and really getting really close to where you're at this point. Don't discount anybody. God has a people. And he's got a lot of them. And I you know what? For sake of putting them on the spot, I'm not going to use names, but there's quite a few people. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Fed up with being fed up. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people that have left churches, people that have left this church, I don't blame them for leaving. I don't blame them. But you know what? They've left churches. You know why they left the church? They're unhappy with it. And sometimes you don't know why you're unhappy with something. You just know you're unhappy. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And they left. And some of them that have left this church are still, they're watching. They're watching to see what you are going to do. And what I'm going to do. And one of these days, they're going to see what God is doing. And that was Twyla's vision, if you remember back. And that was her vision. People were looking in. They kept watching us. You know, what's going on in that little room? And that's kind of what's left of us. What's happening in that little room? They're trying to look through the windows. What's happening? What's going on over there? And one day they'll see it, because God will do it. And I can't do anything. All I can do is sit here and make noise.
but you know, all hell's going to break loose one day. I watched a movie, one of my favorite movies. There's a lot of swearing, but anyways, this is a judge. He's defending his son, his nephew, and so he goes out of town. But he's going to spend the night at a motel, and he gets woken up like at 3 a.m. so he couldn't sleep by a train or something. So they go to another motel, and then he gets woken up by another train, different train. Same train, maybe just 3 a.m, so he couldn't perform. And then the next day he's gets different reasons, and then he goes to the court again, and then the judge, he was underperforming so much, and the judge put him to jail because he was just being ridiculous, and he didn't want his girlfriend to bail him out. He said, just leave me in jail just so I can finally get a good night's sleep and do his work. And you know what? This is a silly, silly movie. But then I start thinking about Paul. You know, all this persecution. You know, I can see why they're going to want to kill you, thinking they put God, making God a favor. I think if I brought what I brought today to a church of 200 people, I nobody will look at me in the eye, I don't think. You know, I feel like that all these people must have hated Paul so much that for Paul to be in prison was the only place he could actually get peace for a while, so he could write all these amazing things. Mm-hmm. And he's got God. And when you have God with you, you can have peace in prison. Yes. You can have peace anywhere. And other thing I was thinking is like, you know, obviously I go, you know, I work a lot. I've been working a lot, so I've been able to listen a lot. And there is no way that this word is put so much by God. And they're so manless or so impossible for an intellect to put together. It's just so, there is no way that this word was not put together by God. It knows every one of us. It knows you. Don't covet, it says, because God knows that everybody covets. Don't steal, because God knows that everybody at some point in their lives has been tempted to steal. Every Proverbs and Psalms is like, it might as well say Pablo in it, you know what I mean? Or your name. It knows, and there's no man that could have put this together. It's only put together by God. That's why God's word will save your soul, because if you read it and you take it in, you will realize that God is so true. That it's not put together by school teachers or college professors. It is so impossible for this word to be not from God. That's why it saves your soul, because it's just so perfect. It goes so into you, you know. I was thinking, you know, everybody in hell believes in God. And you know, there's no atheist in hell either.
There's not a lot of us, but you still had your chance. I want to comment again on something. I'm not a theological expert. I'm really not. But as far as I can see from what we have been taking in from the scriptures, there are vital issues. If the Bible says, if you do this, or unless you do this, or if it says, if any of these things, it is setting us up for a vital thing. Okay? There is one God, one mediator between God and men. Okay? Is that an issue? Is that an important verse? Guess what? Now, the Bible says in John 8:31, it says, if you continue in my word, that's what we're doing. You know what it says? Then you're my disciples. Whose disciples do we want to be? You want to be mine or do you want to be Christ's? Whose disciples? So you continue in his word and you become his disciples. And then it says, and then you will know the truth. And then the thing that I never understood till I experienced it. And the truth will make you free. I am free in the area of the Godhead. I'm free. Finally, I'm free. Because the scriptures have made me free. I don't have a question, is he a dual personality? Is he part God and part man? Does he speak from his own viewpoint sometimes and from God's other times? He says, I only speak that what the Father tells me to speak. Did that answer my question? It made me free. What about the area of predestination? When I finally, I had to hear this a few times. To those that he foreknew, he did predestinate. You know what the problem is with mankind? You know what the problem is with the church? They don't know who he is. I'm not saying I do. His ways are past finding out. I'm saying that God has kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until I began to see this creator that was all inclusive. That without with him all things are possible. I began to see this. But you know what? It took this. That God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, and in these last days has spoken to us through his son, and of course his son's disciples. God kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until, so then the next thing that I saw that was major, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, is that where I used to think of myself as a King James addict, no more. The major issues that are in the scriptures are the same in every script or every translation that I can find. It doesn't matter. The insignificant things are in there so you can argue about them if you want to. Or you can pick out something because you like this thought pattern. I like to be this. So I'm going to find a translation that says this. You know what I mean? I want to believe that, so I'll find a translation that says that. That's gone. I'm free. I'm not a King James addict anymore. I'm free. Are you following what I'm saying? Because God's word is making us free. You know what it's doing to you? It's making you free. It'll get us so free one day that we'll turn into Christians. Would that be a good thing? And I said, we, including me, I want to become a Christian. And there's too much of it out here that where people call themselves Christians. And, you know, God has, he has people in all settings. And the thing that's nice about God, I mean, everything's nice about God, but the thing that's really nice is that he looks on men's hearts. And he judges by their hearts. And so a lot of people that don't have the great revelations that we might hopefully get, he judges them by their hearts anyway. And so that's why the heaven will be full. Anyone else? Huh?
Yeah, you know, like you were saying, Keith, Acts 17, I've read this before a couple of times. Therefore, the one who known, Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heavens and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor he is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. One second. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to keep reading. So that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope. I don't even know what that means. For him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. You know, even though in this darkness, like Oki was saying, and you know, and God has mercy on us, even though we have no truth. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold and silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Okay, now, this is what I wanted to bring up, very important. Truly, these times of ignorance, God has overlooked. Okay? So, we have, you know, the Holy Spirit comes, guides us into truth, but we're still doing these silly things, and we don't know, we don't have the truth, we don't know, but we're getting to it. But we are His sons. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, that we are His sons, we are not to think that divine nature is like... We are not to think that it's like gold and silver stone, something shaped by art and messages. Truly, these times of ignorance, God has overlooked. Okay, the King James sense has winked at, like, just, yeah, like, you know. But commands what? Every man, everywhere, to repent. Okay? So we've been in darkness, and we've been taught weird stuff. And we have not known the truth because we rather listen to man than to God. But God has overlooked that. He did overlook it. Why? Because He's God and He loves us. Mm-hmm. But that's not the end of it. Now we need to repent. Repent of what? From stealing candy from your sister? No. Repent from not believing God's word. Repent for thinking that a man can save your life. No. You have to repent for thinking that God's word is not capable of saving your soul. So that's what God overlooked. He wants you to repent and come to his son that was going to bring you to himself, to him.
Why don't we come up to the front? And
Now the other is Brandon.
Oh, are they? Oh. Good idea, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll help get rid of the insects, the bugs around your yard. And
Ben and Ellie sent for eggs, or chickens.
Yeah.
Only they got the chickens that lay colored eggs.
Colored as in brown?
No.
Oh?
No. They're like Easter eggs.
Yeah, they're like light green, light purple, and all
that. Yeah, they're light colors.
We got eggs from Corky.
Yeah, Corky likes